Today, of course, we are celebrating Mother's Day and acknowledging our mothers and thanking them for the role that they've played in our lives. True motherhood is spelled out in the Bible. We read the stories of the great mothers in history and their effect that they've had on their children and how that has affected history. And in turn, we can relate to that and how true motherhood affects the child's growth physically, mentally, spiritually, and so on and so forth. I do understand, and I want to make clear as I talk about this morning, that when we start talking about our mothers and our fathers, for some people it's not a pleasant place to go. For some reason or another, they have not had a pleasant upbringing. In the case of the mother or the father, there have been issues that have scarred the children's lives. And this is due to the case that true motherhood or true fatherhood has not been lived out biblically. But I want you to listen to what Paul says regarding motherly conduct as it relates to our Christian character. And it is directly related to our Christian walk, not just for women, but to all Christians everywhere. We read in the Bible, and the Bible is very clear about the importance of Christian character. It's a place we all struggle with a lot, living up to the characteristics that the Bible describes a Christian should live up to. It's our fleshly struggle as we go through our Christian journey. But it is very important that we try to live according to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, first of all, in a Christ-like manner. Okay, in a Christ-like manner. Paul makes this clear throughout the New Testament that Christians are to be Christ-like in their character, in their speech, and so forth. But secondly, there's an underlying theme that we see Paul talk about from time to time in the Bible, and that is Christians having a motherly characteristic to them. Okay? Having a motherly characteristic to them. And this is something that really, truly has an effect on other people as Christians when we meet up with other people. Paul gives some examples here this morning of what he's talking about. He's talking in terms of Christian character, first of all, about destructive character, and secondly, about productive character. We as Christians, sometimes in trying to live out our Christian faith, actually develop and exhibit a destructive character to people that we come in contact with. And Paul talks about that here, and we're going to go over that a little bit this morning. Paul's journey, his missionary journeys, were a great struggle for Paul. If you read anything about them and know about the history of his journeys, everywhere he went, he had what was called the Judaizers, and those who were intellectuals of his day, following along behind him, trying to discredit him with the people that he was telling about Jesus Christ, spreading the gospel. In some cases, he was teaching about grace and forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. The Judaizers would come in and say, yeah, but you have to do the works. You have to become a Jew and do all these works to truly be saved. And Paul's life was even threatened at some points along his missionary journey. And he traveled up around the sea and back down into the cities that we know as Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, and he talks about this, that they suffered insults in Philippi, and they were actually threatened there. And that kept Paul on the move. Some scholars believe that Paul was only in Thessalonica maybe a month or less than a month, but at any rate, his ministry there had a great effect on not only the believers in Thessalonica, but also on the whole culture in this city. And he says so when he says, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. It was not a failure. Paul makes that clear. But he talks about, first of all, destructive character of not only Christians, but Christian teachers and those who call themselves Christian apostles and put themselves in a position of authority in the Christian church. He says, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure, that we had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, and as you know, with the help of God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition." The appeal that we make, his appeal to them was to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The appeal that we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. Now, first of all, one of the most destructive characters that Christians sometimes have, especially Christian leaders, are first of all impure motives, secondly error in their teaching, and thirdly trying to trick people by intellectualism, you see. They have impure motives. Their motives are for self-glorification, to make themselves look smart or intelligent, to really make them seem like they know what's going on. They have a grip on everything. They have their life all put together. And he says, our appeal wasn't from error or impure motives, and we weren't trying to trick you into doing this. You see, Christianity doesn't involve trying to trick people into following Jesus Christ. And Paul says that's not who we are. On the contrary, he said, we speak as men approved by God, entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men. We're trying to please God who tests our hearts. And again, sometimes Christians try to please people. It's a great temptation to a preacher to try and please everybody in the congregation. We want to be liked, you see. So we try and please everybody. We're very jovial. We'll tell jokes to get everybody lightened up, and everybody thinks, wow, they're really a great guy. We can really relate to them, and you know, we really think a lot of them. And that's not really what Christian leaders should be doing. Christian leaders should be leading you to this person right here, to Jesus Christ, not following the Christian leader or the preacher or someone who has set themselves up in the position of authority in the church. So there is destructive character that's evident and has been evident since then and is still evident today in our culture today. Having impure motives, using flattery, being greedy, and looking for personal praise. And then Paul turns around and he says, no, that's not who we were, that's not who we are. Here is really what we're all about. You know that we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. You see, Paul didn't come in to flatter the people and say, oh, you're really good people, really great people. God loves you, I love you. Let's just all go party and have a good time because we're all going to heaven. That's not what Paul did. He didn't try and flatter them. He didn't teach them incorrectly in an unorthodox way. He stuck to the scriptures. He stuck to the truth. And he did not do it for his own personal gain. You see, he says we didn't try and cover up our greed. Many of the false teachers of that day and of our day today are doing what they're doing out of selfish ambition and greed. I think there's another scripture that Paul teaches about that and about the false teachers. You see, they want to look intelligent, they want to look good, they want to look righteous, and they want the praise of people. All right? That's not who we are as Christians. That's not what we're about. We are working for God. We are pointing people to Jesus Christ. We are teaching the truth, not flattering people. And sometimes, in fact, we actually repel people because they don't like the message we have. But here's the key. Here's the key in Christianity. As Paul says, we were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. You see, the teaching was then, and Paul teaches, that Christian leaders should be compensated, and they should be compensated accordingly from time to time, and that they deserved what was coming to them because they worked so hard at this. And he said, we could have been a burden from you. We could have requested certain things from you, as the false teachers are doing. We could have been putting burdens on you by telling you that not only do you accept Jesus, but you need to be circumcised, you need to do the works, you need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do this before God's going to accept you. And Paul says, no. We could have been a burden to you, but instead we were gentle. We were gentle like a mother caring for her little children. You see, in other words, what Paul is saying is they did not take advantage of their position. You see, as Christians, we have to put our position aside. We claim to be Christians, God's chosen people. We're going to heaven. That boosts us up, that pumps us up. And all of a sudden, we feel entitled to everything. And Paul said, that's not who we are. We didn't take advantage of our entitlement. Instead, what did we do? We had a gentle attitude. We were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. The King James Version uses the words that we were like a nurse. We were like a nurse. The word nurse in the Greek language meaning a nourisher. Here's the key in our Christian journey, in our Christian conduct. You see, motherly conduct, caring, nourishing. Paul didn't go in and pound them with the Bible and say, here's what you need to do, with the Scriptures, here's what you need to do. Even though he taught intellectually in places where there were great thinkers and great philosophers, he wasn't pounding them over the head saying, if you don't do this, you're no darn good and you're going to hell. That's not what Paul did. He went in with a gentle attitude. The attitude of a mother, a nourisher. Because, folks, you can sit with people and you can tell them all about the Bible. You can read the Bible to them. You can quote scriptures till the cows come home. And they're not going to listen to you until you open up your heart and be like a mother and you nourish them. Because there's something deep inside them that needs to be nourished. And they are not going to listen to you until they see that you genuinely care about them. Everyone in this world, including those sitting right next to you this morning, needs to be nourished. There's something inside them that needs to be met. There's a neediness there. And Christians, if you look at Christ Himself, are about nourishing people. Being with people. When a new baby's born, what's the first thing they do with the baby? When the baby's okay, they lay the baby on the mother's bosom. And the first thing the mother does is nourish the baby, right? You see, our first thing, our first attitude, our first actions with people should be to nourish them. So how do we know what their needs are? Paul says, we love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God. Oh, we love sharing the gospel. We like going out and teaching all about Jesus, quoting the scripture and reading scripture and saying, you need to repent or you're not going to heaven. Now, Paul says, oh, we love to do that. But we were delighted to share our lives as well because you had become so dear to us. We were delighted to share our lives as well. Let me say it again. We were delighted to share our lives as well. What impacted the people in Thessalonica and everywhere Paul went is Paul, Timothy, Silas, and whoever was with Paul at the time shared their lives with the people. Paul says, we became all things to all people so that we might win some. They shared their lives. They didn't hold them out at arms and say, oh man, I don't know. I can't get involved with them right now because it's just going to put one thing more on my plate and I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that. I got enough to deal with. You see? I'm a Christian, but that person over there in need, I can't get involved with them and share. If I share my life with them, they're going to know all about me. They're going to know what I did that one time and who I did that one thing to. And oh my gosh, they're going to know that I'm related to so-and-so and that I'm friends with so-and-so. Can't share my life with. I got to keep it all bottled up and I got to protect myself and fence myself in. I'm Christian, but I'm going to protect myself. You see, that wasn't Paul. Here's Paul. The man that said, the things that I want to do, I can't seem to do, and the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing those things. Sharing his life. Sharing his struggles, sharing his burdens with the people that he didn't even know until all of a sudden he dropped into Thessalonica. And shared the gospel with people and shared his life with people. The productive character that made his visit there so successful was that they didn't take advantage of their entitlement as Christians. They had a gentle attitude and they exercised Christ's command to love one another as Christ loved us. And furthermore, it became evident to the people all around them. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. If you remember, Paul took up the trade of tent making and learned about tent making. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a scholar, spent a lot of years studying, reading books, took up the trade of tent making so that he could take in an income and he wouldn't burden the people where he went, although the people took him in and fed him and everything. But he didn't want to be a burden on anybody. He was industrious with his time and probably used tent making as a tool to reach others that he otherwise would not have reached. Why? Because he shared his life with them. Not because he pounded the Bible into him and quoted scripture or shared his stories about Jesus, which he probably did. Remember, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus firsthand. Christian character, most importantly, is Christ-like, but second is motherly conduct. Because motherly conduct is gentle, caring, nourishing others, meeting their needs, sharing their lives with other people. When you do that, I'm going to tell you folks, you're going to see a big difference in people. You're going to see people willing to listen to your story, willing to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and willing to come to church and sit beside you in church. Why? The world can see right through fake Christians. The people that claim to be Christians, they go to church every Sunday, they have ever since they were born, they know the Bible inside and out, they can quote scripture to you, they can tell you where it's from, they claim righteousness in their life, that they don't do anything wrong. But yet, when the world looks at them, they can't see Christ. They can't see the gentleness. They can't see the caring, nourishing attitude that the Bible calls us to live out as Christians. You know, as I thought about this morning between services, being a mother is pretty tough, isn't it, women? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
When Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you've ever been a mother, you know how hard those things are to exercise. As a Christian, they're even harder yet because the world's looking at us. The world's watching us. The world's saying they are held to a higher standard. And they don't care how much we know about the Bible. What they do care about is how much we want to know about them. How much we want to get involved with them and share our lives with them. And Paul said, well, we didn't use all the other things that the world uses. The flattery, the tricks, we weren't doing it for our own self-greed. Our visit to you was not a failure because we came and we were gentle. We nourished you. We got involved with you. We lived with you. We accepted you. We didn't burden you. Paul continues later on here in this chapter using the father figure as an example of their work in Thessalonica also, and I'll probably get to that on Father's Day. But what resulted from the conduct of Paul, Silas, and Timothy is found in these first chapters. In chapter 1, he says, our visit was not a failure. He said earlier in chapter 1, we remember your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what an awesome influence Paul, Timothy, and Silas had through their gentleness, nourishing the people there, that now they were working for the good of the Lord in work produced by faith. They were laboring for others and for the benefit of others, prompted by love. And they were enduring despite persecution because they were inspired by hope that Jesus was going to take them to be with Him. And later in chapter 2, he says, we also thank God because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You brothers became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. What made the difference in these churches? What's going to make the difference in the church of the 21st century? the Church of Jesus Christ. Only when the Christian Church today exercises true motherly conduct of love, gentleness, caring for others, nourishing them with our love and with our help and the gospel of Jesus Christ, only then, and then, and only then, will the church's work not be a failure. And you will see our churches grow, not because of what we know and can recite when we're around others, but because of motherly, gentle, caring, nourishing conduct, because of the love of Christ exercised in our lives. Made a big difference in Thessalonica. It's going to make a big difference in our world today if we practice it. And practice it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our great God and